Hello, I'm Elizabeth, an obsessive backyard gardener who might be able to offer you a couple of tips.
And I'm Keith, a landscape consultant, and I'm also passionate about gardening.
The one thing we both have in common is
muddy boots.
It wasn't long ago that we thought growing Australian native plants meant we had to have a completely native garden. Well, times have changed. Australian native plants are now very much part of mainstream gardening, being widely used in commercial and public plantings and starring in home gardens. And it's no wonder, as there are so many benefits. They provide food and habitat to native wildlife, they preserve local biodiversity, they're drought tolerant, they're adaptable, and an attractive addition to any garden. So whether you want to grow a garden that's entirely native or mix it up with plants from around the world, Keith and I hope to encourage you today with our top 10 Australian native plants for the home garden. And Keith is going to give us his number one. Can we start at the ground and go up from there, do you think, Keith?
We can.
Go.
We certainly can. Right.
What you got?
So my absolute favourite ground cover type plant is Casuarina glauca, cousin it.
Oh,
I think that is probably one of the most outstanding ground covers that you'll ever see in a garden.
And it's a bit trendy.
Well, yeah, but it's been around for a long time. I mean, okay. I was using it in gardens that I designed 15 years ago. So it's been
You're
around
trendy.
For a while. Yeah. But people are starting to see just how gorgeous it can look in their garden as a ground cover. Mm. It suppresses weeds like you would not believe. It keeps moisture in like you couldn't do better with a mulch. It's fantastic in that respect, and it is a long-lived plant. So Casuarina glauca, cousin it. It's a ripper.
Fabulous. And is that the one where you can sort of grow it in mounds?
It mounds up, but it's got long needles.
Yeah.
It's long needles.
Okay.
And dense, incredibly dense.
Okay.
So I just love it.
Okay. Well, one of my favourite ground cruppers, and please excuse my pronunciation with a lot of these, is the Chrysocephalum?
Yep.
Apiculatum, commonly known as the common everlasting or yellow buttons. Now,
yep.
Everyone knows that one.
Yep.
Desert Flame was a variety that I had planted in our old garden, and it was fantastic. The plant has pretty silvery grey foliage and bright yellow button flowers for most of the year. It's as tough as nails, and it's best planted en masse, I think, in a sunny spot to make the most of those beautiful yellow flowers.
Stunning.
Yes. I have another one. One more ground cover.
Well, we're going to go past the top 10, aren't we?
I don't know. We'll try not to. We'll see how we go. This one, Xerochrysum. Xerochrysum, Sunday's White, commonly known as the Everlasting Daisy. Mm-hmm. It's also a low-growing shrub or ground cover that looks great planted in a rockery or a garden border, and it should be in full sun, but it also can tolerate light shade. It has dark foliage throughout with pretty white flowers with a yellow centre from spring through to autumn. And those butterflies, beautiful butterflies, love them, and they dry beautifully too and can last for years. And so everything I like is flower, of course.
Of course.
Because I'm a girl. Okay, what's next?
Well, I thought we might throw in a grass or two.
Oh, I like that idea.
One of the most common grasses that's actually used in the landscape is actually the native tussock grass, which is Poa labladeira.
Right.
And that has a beautiful blue form and a beautiful grey form. So there's a couple of different varieties in the Poa forms. They need to be clipped back like most grasses anyway, but it's a great drought-tolerant plant. It really, really looks after itself and just adds that softness to a landscape. Mm.
Well, you know, the last year you have certainly educated me on grasses, and I'm looking forward to putting lots of grasses into our new garden. One that I like the look of, and you can give me your opinion on this, which it's swamp fountain grass. And I think its botanical name is Penicetum
alopecuroides.
That's the one. And this variety is Penstripe.
Yeah.
And I've seen it in a photo or two. Wow. Is that not a good idea?
I wouldn't touch Penicetum alopecuroides in any of my gardens.
Fine. Why not?
Because it is a scraggy-looking thing when it gets taller. Oh. And if you want to see how bad it looks, go past my place, have a look at the garden across the road, which has got the whole front is
full
done
of them.
With Penicetum alopecuroides.
Obviously, if it's kept compact... If you can keep it cut back, I'm not going to grow it now, obviously.
That's the problem, is that you need a lot of maintenance with that. It is not an easy plant to look after, and these this place looks absolutely hideous.
Yes. Okay. Right. Okay, everybody, subtract that. I won't be growing
everyone.
It, and I wouldn't suggest you do either. Okay, what about a let's move out of the grasses onto a climbing plant. Got any? I have.
There's one I like to use, and there's a couple of different coloured forms of it. It's Hardenbergia.
That was mine as well. Well, so you can talk about it.
Right, there's Hardenbergia violacea, which has either a deep blue form or a purple form. Mm. But there's other forms which can be white.
Yes.
So alba. Yep. And there's other forms that they've now hybridised that are actually pink.
Mm.
Common name is native sarsaparilla.
Yep.
And you really need to be on top of it all the time. You need to clip it back on a regular basis. Otherwise, it'll grow straight to the top of your fence or wherever you're growing it, and you'll have nothing down below. So you've got to encourage it with lots and lots of clipping to force that growth back down the bottom.
Okay, and it's a winter flowering plant.
It is, yeah. It's flowering right now. In fact, I was up at Glen Rowan and we went for a walk in the King Valley to Paradise Falls, I think it's called, and I pointed out to my daughter that there was growing naturally there in the bushland.
Oh, how beautiful.
Looked lovely, yeah.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Lovely. Okay, I'm going to give you a top shrub now, moving on to shrubs. The first one I have, because I've got two, is Philotheca flower girl, which most of us would know as the wax flower. It's a pretty small, it's a pretty and it's small shrub that will cope well in most environments. The long flowering period from late winter through spring is a definite highlight, and the dainty white flowers with a pink tinge are fabulous as cut flowers. And the wax flower thrives in sun to part shade. I think I probably like the flower more than I actually like the shrub.
Yeah. So if anyone's as old as me and has a botanical background, that was called Eriostemon originally, now Philotheca.
Okay.
So Geraldton wax flower is its common name, Western Australian plant. As I said, lovely masses of little white flowers, and it looks fantastic.
Mm,
really, really nice.
Yep.
My one
Your turn.
Is a Westringia.
Yes.
So it's a coastal rosemary.
Yes.
But this one is Westringia fruticosa, and it's called Aussie Box. And it is a hybridised form. It's a PBR line, so it's a line that's grown under licence because someone's put a lot of money into it. And it was created by a company called Ausbreed that's now should be called American Breed because it's been taken over by an American company.
Oh.
But it makes a fantastic grey hedge that can be clipped or left into a natural ball shape, and it stays tidy and compact. So typical size would be 50 by 50. Pruned, or if you let it go, maybe 70 by 70. So it's a great size. It's got beautiful soft grey foliage, suited as a border transition plant. Grey is a fabulous plant to transition between hot colours and cool colours. So it works really, really good.
Yeah.
Its uses are great for hedges, borders, containers, just mass plantings.
I've seen some very lovely gardens with little, mounds or circular box,
little balls,
balls.
Fantastic. This is a beautiful dwarf form.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay. I had another one, which was the Callistemon Hot Pink, a.k.a. the bottle brush.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a lover of pink, you will definitely love this one. It's a compact bottle brush growing to about 1.5 to 2 metres wide, I think, and high as well. So it's really a medium-sized shrub. It produces dazzling pink flowers twice a year in late spring and I think in autumn as well, which the nectar-loving birds and insects love. It responds well to a hard pruning to keep it compact and works well as a hedge also or a feature plant.
Yeah.
That's that one.
That's great.
That's mine. What about larger shrubs?
Okay, larger shrubs. There's one called Stenocarpus sinuatus, and that's common name is the firewheel tree, and this is a large shrub.
Right.
I've seen it get to probably around 3 to 4 or 5 meters down here in Victoria, where it's naturally come from, which is the rainforest of New South Wales and Queensland. It can be quite a tall plant, but it is a plant that once you see the flowers, it'll be etched in your memory forever because it is just sensational. Mm. The flowers are 50 to 75 mil across, and they're bright bright red. They're almost like they're on steroids, wow. The flowers.
Wow.
And the foliage is deep green and it has irregular lobes on the actual leaves themselves, and they're thick and they're leathery. So that's called sclerophyll. That description, sclerophyll.
Mm.
So that's a beautiful plant.
Beautiful. Well, one of my top large shrubs is the grevillea. I love grevillea flowers. I think, again, I love the flowers perhaps a bit more than the actual the foliage. Anyway, I've chosen peaches and cream, which is relatively new, I think.
Yeah.
It's really a medium to large size shrub, again, growing up to 2 metres in height. Like the callistemon, this would also make a great feature plant with its beautiful cream, sort of creamy pink flowers, which bloom from spring to autumn, which is a nice long period.
Yeah.
It has a spreading habit, so it could also work well as a screening plant or hedge, and is another magnet for native wildlife.
Exactly, and it is a big, buffy flower.
Yeah.
Looks sensational.
Amazing.
So its history is that it was hybridized from Grevillea robusta, which is that great big tree Grevillea with the bright yellow flowers.
Mm.
There was a particular nurseryman that crossed the varieties and came up with the most well-known of that particular variety. It was called Robin Gordon, and that was named after his daughter, who unfortunately passed away from cancer.
Mm.
And then from there, it's been hybridized again and again and again, and peaches and cream is that. And you can actually just see the heritage of the plant by looking at the leaves. The leaves are just like the Grevillea robusta, the true form.
Right.
So it's incredible plant. And once again, beautiful hybridization. It's got that to be an absolute standout. Mm. Gorgeous looking thing.
They're divine. Your turn.
All right. There's one that I do like. It's actually called Telepia speciosissima.
Yes,
It is the native floral emblem of New South Wales.
Oh,
so it's called the Waratah.
Waratah. Yeah. I think I've got that.
You got that one too.
I have.
Right, the name.
I have.
The name Telepia comes from the Greek word for seen from afar, which is referring to the plant's large, showy, bright red flowers.
Mm.
And with hybridization, again, there's many different forms that have been created. So there's from the iconic red, there's pink, yellow and white. Now, for a wow factor, this plant is an absolute ripper, and it's a great source of nectar for feeding animals like the honey eater birds, the pygmy possums, and it's a great small shrub. Gets to about 2 metres by probably about 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
Great plant.
And it can grow well in both light shade as an understory plant or in full sun, apparently.
Yeah, and you'll find a lot of them now are grafted, so that eliminates a lot of the soil problems that they used to have. They're either going to be a plant that when you planted it, you either woke up one morning it was dead, or you were lucky enough to see it go on for a long, long period of time.
Yep.
But now they've grafted it, it's just a ripper.
Okay. Now, one that I've just sort of don't know much about, but I, you know, from research, I thought this looked amazing. It's the New South Wales Christmas bush.
Yes.
Has a botanical name of
Ceratopetalum gummiferum.
Thank you very much. it's classed as a large shrub, growing to 5 metres in height, so it's actually quite big and 1.5 metres wide. It's more like a small evergreen tree with creamy flowers in spring that turn a rusty red just in time for Christmas.
Beautiful. Yeah, and it's also the foliage that's coming on there as well.
Okay.
It can look like it's on fire. It's just a stunning-looking plant.
The fire tree.
Beautiful. Love it.
Yeah. Albury's Red is a popular variety of this large shrub, with Joanna's Christmas being a smaller cultivar at 3 metres in height. And it can be, again, planted in full sun to light shade, although it's better off, more flowering if it's in full sun. So there was that one.
Mm-hmm. That's a ripper.
Your turn now.
We're still on shrubs, are we?
Well, no, we're going to trees now.
All right. You want to go for a tree?
Yeah, go for a tree.
All right. Well, here this is probably one of my favourites, Macadamia integrifolia, which is the macadamia or the Queensland nut.
Yes.
And in Australia, we only have 4 varieties of macadamias, and of those 4, only 2 actually produce nuts.
Oh.
And we've just harvested a whole heap of nuts from our macadamia. And if you go for integrifolia rather than tetraphylla, integrifolia will be one that will tolerate a lot colder conditions.
Tougher.
Yeah, it's a more cold-tolerant plant than the other ones.
Mm.
And all 4 of these plants are all endangered. So if you can grow macadamia, here in Australia they are.
We all need to grow one.
If you can grow them, they're a great plant. They have the most incredible flowers. So the flowers actually grow on the inside part of the actual tree, a little bit like a carob. They have beautiful flowers on the inside. So does the macadamia. So the pollination will be from little native insects rather than you know, anything else. Mine were all pollinated with bees, you know, from the hive, and they're just fantastic. Oh. Just a beautiful thing. And the flowers are long and white, and they resemble a little bit like a grevillea flower, I guess, in the way that you look at it. And you actually harvest the nuts when they fall on the ground. It's that easy. You just pick them up off the ground.
Yep.
Just brilliant.
And crack them.
Mine's growing on the south side of our property, about 300 mil off the paling fence. And it would be probably 5 to 6 metres tall now. And I just prune it back as hard as I want.
It's quite tight in there, isn't it?
They are
quite
tight
against the fence, but quite close to the house.
Morning shade. Just for a possum to climb up and jump across onto the roof. Little mongrels.
Yes.
So it'll get to about 5 metres tall at our place. That's where it's going to stay. It's got beautiful dark green leaves, and the flowers are great, and the nuts are even better.
Beautiful. Yummy, absolutely. Okay, for my top native tree, I couldn't go past the flowering gum, also known as Corymbia ficifolia. Not every home will obviously have room for a gum tree, but these grafted eucalyptus trees are available in a variety of sizes, starting from, I think, 2 metres and going up to about 15 metres. Yep. The gums have been grafted onto specially selected rootstock, so will grow happily in a wide range of soil types and have greater resistance against disease.
Exactly.
The features of these trees include their beautiful peeling layers of bark, their rounded canopies, and absolutely beautiful flowers. They're just the cutest little flowers in either red, fairy floss, pink, orange, or white through summer and autumn. And I just think it's a must-have tree in a native or even Mediterranean-style garden, and is another one to attract nectar-loving wildlife. Yeah.
The key here with selecting a particular colour is to ensure that you've got one that has been grown from a cutting, not from a seed.
Right.
Because if you're growing one, if you're going to pick one up that's been grown from a seed, you haven't got any idea what the colour is going to be. So it's got to be grown from a cutting and then grafted onto a rootstock.
And can we see that when we go into a nursery? Are we going to know that?
It should be on the label that it's a grafted form, and the colour should be on there as well.
Okay, so it's to be grafted.
So just be careful if you're going out and buying them from, you know, somewhere on the stall somewhere, as a red flowering gum. It could be orange, it could be pink, it could be white.
They're all pretty, though, so it's not the end of the world.
But the red flowering gum is just absolutely. And once again, if you're old as me, that used to be called Eucalyptus ficifolia, not Corymbia. So they've changed it from the genus, a little bit like the Geraldton wax flower from Philothica from Eriostemon.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they just do that confuses.
So I said ficifolia. It's ficifolia.
Ficifolia, yeah.
Oh, God. I'll never get that right. Okay, your last one, or have you got more?
I just love this. We're in the gum again.
Good.
And this is a gum. It's called Eucalyptus caseyi.
Right.
And it's otherwise known as the Silver Princess. It's from WA. And it can get to 3 to 6 metres and about 3 metres, 4 metres wide. It has a beautiful weeping habit with incredibly long leaves that hang down with decorative peeling curls of bark. It has beautiful, huge flowers in spring, and they're pink and red. And it being grafted, it now tolerates a huge range of soil types. So some of the councils used to go out and plant them into, you know, various tracts of land around the place to make them look pretty, and they all
died
because they didn't like the soil. Yeah. So from WA, they've got, you know, 30, 40, 50 feet of sand. Yeah. So they've got very, very deep roots, and they have a relationship with a fungal spore in order to pick up, you know, the stuff that's deep down in the soil to feed them.
Mm-hmm.
So they've now have them in a grafted form, and they are absolutely sensational. So beautiful little flowering gum.
How tall did you say?
Well, you can get to 3 to 6 metres by about 2 to 3 metres, maybe 4 at a pinch.
Okay.
But beautiful weeping habit. Gorgeous plant.
Gorgeous. Well, I think we've just about done our 10 or more.
We've done plenty more than 10.
So, look, it's never easy to choose just 10 of a particular group of plants, as there are always so many to choose from. So, really, this is just a snapshot of a much larger choice of native plants. It's always best to check that the plants you choose are native to your area, as some natives are considered weeds in other parts of Australia, isn't that right?
That's right.
So your local nursery or council will obviously advise you on this. Thank you so much for listening and happy native gardening. Thank you for listening to Muddy Boots. For more information on today's podcast, please go to muddyboots.net.au, and happy gardening.